Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Oh, this hour we're going to have fun because we're talking about something that's so important to most of our lives, Wisconsin's libraries. Wisconsin has 384 public libraries, 82 public library branches. More than 6 in 10 state residents are registered library users. But the role of libraries, of course, is changing because of the way that we're getting all of our information. So we're going to be talking about all of the many purposes that libraries serve now and what the vision is for libraries' futures. And we're doing this on an appropriate day because the Wisconsin Library Association is having their 2016 conference, and it's right here in Milwaukee, and it started today, which is a very nice thing for the city. And Milwaukee's libraries have been a very important part of my life, and libraries all over the state, but I'm sure many are feeling financial problems too, so we'll talk about that. We have two guests with us. Paula Kylie is director of the Milwaukee Public Library, and she is joining us in our studios here in Milwaukee. Paula, nice to see you again. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Kathleen. Yeah. Nice to see you.
Nice to have you here. And
thank
I guess
you.
You're buddies with our other guest, too, who's joining us. Kelly Krieg-Sigman is director of the La Crosse Public Library. And, Kelly, we thank you so much for being with us. Hi.
Kathleen, hello. I'm delighted to be here. Paula, wish I was there.
Hey, Kelly, why aren't you here?
Oh,
well, never mind.
Yeah.
We can talk about that offline.
Come on down to Milwaukee sometime, and everybody can have lunch and talk about it. So this is a big deal to have this association's meeting in Milwaukee. People are coming from all over, and I would imagine there are a lot of big issues being discussed as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, the conference, any conference, library conference, is a big deal, whether it's the state or regional or national convention. And there are so many issues, positive things going on, challenging things, lots of things to talk about. And in the next, I think we've got 4 days, including today, there's going to be a lot of discussion about all the great things that libraries of all stripes are doing. It's not just public libraries, although Kelly and I are certainly representing those libraries, but librarians from academic libraries, from corporate libraries, special libraries, school libraries, they'll all be there. Mm. And sometimes it's that kind of cross conversation that really gets, you know, the juices flowing
right.
And great ideas. And yeah, so you never know what's going to happen when you go to a conference.
And you never know what's going to happen with the whole world of libraries. When I think about what libraries were like for you, too, I'm sure when you were a child, this whole world has changed so much with online and with books being online, mm-hmm. and who knows where you're going to be 10 years from now. You just don't know at this point, do you? Let's give this one to you. Kelly, where are you going to be 10 years from now?
We don't even know where we're going to be 10 days from now sometimes.
I know. I got the same feeling.
I've been reflecting on this quite a bit in the last year because La Crosse Public has been engaged in a strategic long-range planning process.
Mm-hmm.
And I started my career filing cards in a card catalog. And today I find myself dealing with issues and questions that 30 years ago would have been insane. However, I firmly believe, and I will always believe, that the fundamental reason for a public library has not changed. No matter how wired we get, there is always going to be a need for a neutral public place where people can come together face-to-face in productive ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and
would you add to that definition of a library, Paula? Is that
I think that's spot on? Absolutely right. You know, I think back to when I was a girl, like you, Kathleen, the library was an important part of my life, and I am originally from Milwaukee, used the Tippecanoe branch on our south side, and just yesterday I was talking to someone who told me that she still had her original library card, which was this little paper thing, and I remember that from when I was a girl. So it's easy to look back. Many things have stayed the same. Processes and how we do things have changed dramatically, but the basic concept of a library is, I think, pretty stable. I mean, we are places where anyone from any walk of life can walk in the door. As Kelly said, we're neutral. You're going to find things you love in the library, and you're going to find things that you won't approve of in the library. Not only the things on the shelves, but the people we invite in to talk to the community about issues that we think are important or that, frankly, the community thinks is important. I will admit that librarians as a profession tend to lean a bit to the left. Now, that's not everybody, but even so, that doesn't mean that we don't make other viewpoints available. We had a very conservative author at the library I think it was about a year ago, and there were a few eyebrows raised. You know, why are you having this conservative author that seemed out of place? Absolutely not. We really need to make sure people have access to the whole spectrum of ideas, whether it's in print or it's online or it's someone having conversation with the community.
Right. Absolutely. It's very important. I think our missions are similar in that regard.
I agree.
Very similar. You know, I miss, though, it's funny, I had to stop myself because I always go to the library once a week at least, and I was looking for a certain book last week, and I found myself, I was almost going to ask somebody, where is the card catalog?
Oh, Kathleen.
I miss those card catalogs. I love going through them. Then I realize, I think we're in another time period now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's happening with financing? I know that these are hard times for cities, certainly, and I'm wondering if you have to fight in order to expand libraries, to renovate libraries, or if you have to redefine libraries in terms of how a building is going to be used. Paula?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're very fortunate in the city of Milwaukee that we've gotten really excellent support given the financial situation that our cities and our states are in. While our budget may not have grown tremendously over the years, we have been proud to say that even during the hardest budgetary times, we never closed a library. There are libraries around the country that had to close branches. We made a decision not to do that. So, again, given the situation, I think our support has been quite good. Can we use more money? Absolutely. Right. Could we benefit from more staff? Yes, absolutely. But we also, given during this period, have made really great headway on a facilities plan that was put into place almost 10 years ago. And in fact, at a time when people were saying that libraries were irrelevant and no longer necessary because, of course, everything was available on the internet, we were planning for the future. And the future included buildings. And it wasn't the librarian saying that, it was the community saying, we want our libraries in our communities. So over those 10 years, we have made progress. We have been systematically rebuilding our branch library system. And we have, of course, the beautiful Central Library downtown.
Gorgeous.
It is. It is a one-of-a-kind, in my opinion. And we have 12 branches, full-service branches, and an express library, which we can perhaps talk about later. But those branch libraries were built in the late 60s and early 70s, outdated in terms of design and in terms of mechanical systems. Mm-hmm. So while some of them had gotten had some renovation, they really needed to be completely redone. And based on a model that we developed, we were not the first ones in the country by any means, but we've really capitalized on this idea of mixed-use libraries where we're working with developers and really building new libraries at a highly reduced price. For our budget for each branch is about $4.5 million, and you look at some communities and they're spending $10, $12, $15 million to build a new library.
Ooh.
So we've found a good solution, I think, for our area, for our city, and the results have been quite excellent, and the community is very pleased.
Mm. And Kelly, I know that La Crosse has recently gone through a lengthy process, a strategic plan, months-long process, conversation, research about the current and future role of your public library within the La Crosse community. What did you come up with?
Almost exactly what Paula just said, Kathleen.
Really? Interesting.
There is a huge, I would say, community-based support for the library as a building, library as a community center, library as an integral part of the health of the community. Our issue is a little bit more dire, I would say, in terms of finances. We have come to the conclusion through the strategic planning process here that in order for us to continue to maintain three locations, we are going to have to be a bit more adept in finding those combined uses, because Otherwise, it's going to continue to be a struggle to keep the hours that we have currently. The groundswell of support, we had over 400 people participate either in person or via the online survey, which we felt for the community of our size was quite remarkable. Very, very strong support, very, very strong, very rich ideas as to what libraries could evolve into. That term evolution kept coming up throughout the discussions, and when it came time to develop the mission statement, that's one of our lead action words. Our mission is to help the La Crosse community evolve, adapt, and thrive. It's going to be a very long process. It's going to be an organic process, and as everybody knows, this will never end. But I was very pleased with the fact that the community itself identified the need to evolve and saw the public library as being integral to that process.
Well, it's amazing to me when I was looking at these figures, the number of people. There aren't too many people or too many other places where you'd have as many people go to a place. 6 in 10 state residents are registered library users. That's a lot of users in this state. It's higher than I thought it would be these days, Paula.
I'm not surprised by that number. It will vary locally, depending upon your community. Milwaukee might be slightly lower than that. In fact, we know we're lower than that, which is why we've been, why we've launched an awareness campaign and are working very closely with Mayor Barrett and Dr. Driver at MPS to make sure that all district students have a library card.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot of opportunity for people to come back to the library who haven't been here for a while. And I think while it's really not, libraries don't have an awareness problem. Everybody knows there's a public library in town. People may not be aware of how relevant the library is to them today. We are no longer warehouses of books. We're much more than that. Kelly mentioned community centers. I think that's an apt description. The level of programming and events that takes place in a public library has gone up tremendously over the last 5 to 10 years. Just this weekend at the Central Library here, we hosted a haunted library event. It was a 2-day event, so incredibly popular that we actually sort of sold out on the first night and reached capacity pretty early in the evening. We estimate conservatively that in 2 days we saw 7,000 people walk through our doors. And the number could really realistically have been higher, but conservatively about 7,000 people. Families with children having a great time and rediscovering their library, getting library cards, taking things home. Yeah, it really was so gratifying. Now, the real test of the success of that event will be what happens in the coming weeks and months. Do those families come back? But that's really what we're hoping for. In Milwaukee, so many families, I think, have for one reason or another, not been to the library in a while, and we want them back. We want them in the library using all the things that are here for them.
Mm-hmm. Have you found that events have boosted people coming to La Crosse libraries, Kelly?
Before I answer that, Kathleen, just for the record,
sure.
If we hosted an event at La Crosse that had 7,000 people come through, I'd be dead.
That's a lot of people.
Just want to get that out there.
Well, we were a little tired.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Our experience with programming and how it impacts the rest of the library operation has been different but the same but different. And again, I think it goes back to the role that each public library plays in its community. I'm going to answer that question a little bit differently. The city of La Crosse places a high value on its history. We've had an archives department in the La Crosse Public Library for over 25 years. What we've developed here in response to that is the project known as Dark La Crosse. And Dark La Crosse is a walking tour, it's a trolley tour, it's a stage show, and it's all research that's been done by the professional staff, both in the archives and information services departments, and it's a presentation. The people who have been attracted to this have included heavily that oh-so-desirable 25 to 40 age group.
Mm-hmm.
Has it translated to them coming into the library every 3 weeks to check out books? Not yet. Mm-hmm. However, they know about it. They've talked about it. We're doing the second annual this week, which, by the way, Paul, is why I'm not in Milwaukee at WLA. They are far more aware of the potential of the library. We've even managed to cajole a few of them into attending our annual fundraiser. Has it resulted, again, like I say, in an increase in circulation of books? Not exactly. But they see the library as being this knowledge center in a different way, and they value that. Mm-hmm. So one of the challenges I see libraries having as we continue to move forward is, how do we measure our success? Because for a billion years, it was, how many things do you check out? Mm-hmm. Well, that's only a piece of the puzzle now. Now it's, how many people came to the program? How many people are accessing your Facebook? How many people are coming to other kinds of programs? How many people are responding to any kind of online survey you put on your website? Those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is in so many communities. It still is. Imagine a community without a library. It's a centerpiece. It's a center for social interaction as well. When people come to the library now, I'm still a book person. I have to have the book in front of me, and probably always will be, mm-hmm. because I mark it and I go back to it, and I'm just not used to doing it on tablet. But when people come to a Milwaukee library or La Crosse, are they coming now, if they're going to read a book, are they downloading books? Are they mm-hmm. still checking books out of libraries? Do you have the same mm-hmm. extensive book collection in terms of printed page that you always have?
Well, that's really the question. And one of the questions that I get asked most frequently is, is the book going to go away? I mean, people still do ask that question, but sure. probably a little less often. So the answer is mixed. It's not yes or no. And I think Kelly's point about how we measure success is one that we're all grappling with. At MPL, what we're looking at is what we call our market reach and our market satisfaction. So how many people are actually using the library? That could be measured by some of the things suggested. People who are walking in the doors to use the physical collections or computers or the internet or attend a program. But nationally, and I believe statewide, those numbers are going down. Not necessarily attendance of programs, but people just walking in the doors. But what is going up, and going up dramatically, are the number of people using the library from a remote location, their office, their
really?
Car, their home, their, you know, wherever their cell phone is, that's their library. So we have still are spending a lot of money on books, and I can tell you in the city of Milwaukee, not necessarily printed books, but physical items are being checked out more than, actually, it is more books. Books are the number one thing going out the door. Mm-hmm. Second thing is media. Our circulation of electronic things is going up and becoming, it's still a small percentage, but it is going up. The number one area growing is downloadable audiobooks.
Really?
So think of this. You know, you've got a long drive ahead, you're in the car alone, you didn't have time to go to the library, so you pull out your cell phone, you go to the library webpage, and you go to this site that's a product available statewide. We do this as a consortium, as a state. It's called Overdrive. And with a library card, you can download ebooks and audio books.
I didn't even know that, Paula.
It's incredible.
Really? I never knew.
The teachable moment.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So you download the book of your choice, you plug in your phone to your car, and voila, you have a book on tape that you can listen to, and you didn't have to go anywhere to get it.
Ooh, and are people coming to La Crosse for the same reason? Kelly?
Yes, they are.
They are,
Kathleen.
Huh.
And again, just to supplement that answer and to put a shout out for the small libraries, when you talk about the future of the book, the answer you'll get from a small public library director, I think, is going to be a little bit different than mine. Because for a lot of the smaller communities, especially in the Winding Rivers Library System which is our system here on the west side of the state, those small libraries are the only place in town. The citizens there don't have real easy access to a Barnes & Noble. Sometimes they don't have good internet access either. So for some of the smaller libraries in the state, books will continue to be their primary stock and trade. The Overdrive product has been great. Once people find out about it, they're all over it. La Crosse has been piloting another streaming digital product known as Hoopla, which is music. And the deal with that is as soon as an album is released commercially, it's available on Hoopla. They also have a pretty extensive back file. I tested it when we first got it, and I was amazed at how many 70s albums I was able to find. The dialogue will continue, I think, for quite a while because everybody's getting a different preference, and the younger generation now does want choices. Mm-hmm. They want options. And I can think of three regular users of the La Crosse Public Library who participate in all formats. Sometimes they want audio, sometimes they want print, sometimes they want something else. That's been the challenge for libraries with materials budgets. Where do you put your resources? Mm-hmm. And when you find yourself having to buy the same title in three different formats,
yes,
it becomes a challenge.
Right.
But nevertheless, we are figuring out ways to do it, and downloadable content is not going to go away.
No, I'm sure it's not, and who knows where that'll go in the next few years. Mm-hmm. We're going to welcome phone calls for our guests, those of you who frequent libraries frequently, and I'm sure that many of you do in this listening audience all throughout the state. We'd love to hear from you. Why do you go to your libraries? Are there certain things that you would like to see the library have that would make life easier for you that they don't have? Are you a downloadable book person? Do most of you go to get a book, or do you go to download something? Do you go to get music? Do you go to get movies? The role of libraries and how they have changed and where they might go. We're speaking this hour with Kelly Krieg Sigmund, director of the La Crosse Public Library, and Paula Kiley is joining us, director of Milwaukee Public Library. She's here in our Milwaukee studios. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and we have lines open for you, librarians. We'd like to hear from you as well. Great libraries all over the state. If you want to call and talk about those, please do. We'd like to hear from you. This is the, oh, did I give you, it's the phone number, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we are on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls. They're just streaming on in, and we start with Ann in Madison. Hi, Ann.
Hello.
Hi, Ann. Go right ahead.
Hi. It was so interesting. I was just listening to the radio program. They were talking about, you're talking about libraries. And just as I was listening to it, I was deleting the last book that I just listened to on Overdrive. It was so interesting because as they were talking about, you all were talking about whether people go to libraries anymore and take books out. I think I was thinking about how much I use my Overdrive. I'm in the car a lot. And I actually am ready to put a new book on there and was just getting ready to look for a new book when you were talking about Overdrive. So I just had to share that with you. I love it. I couldn't live without it. I don't listen to anything other than Wisconsin Public Radio and Overdrive. So
So as long as you have two wonderful librarians here, what kind of book are you looking for your next read? You'll get some advice.
Oh, gosh. You know what? I have friends who are in book groups, and I ask for recommendations from them. I have to be honest, I look for the ones that are available now, so yeah. I actually use the filter. And so I'm sort of a historical reader, but I like some of the more contemporary books. But I like the historical books that are kind of giving us some history and whether fiction or nonfiction. Those are my choices.
Yeah, Larry Tye's new book on Bobby Kennedy is superb. The decade of the '70s. It's very good. That's my opinion. I really liked it, and you might like it, Anne, because it's very well written and researched, and is a complete picture. It's not highly, it's not just positive. It's the whole character, but it covers the decade well. Yeah.
Well, I was one of the books that I listened to not so long ago was, I think it was something called These Final Days or something, and it was John F. Kennedy and Jackie in their last year.
Oh.
And it was fantastic. I just really got a snapshot of what JFK was all about, sort of behind the scenes, and, you know, the relationship he and Jackie had, but also, you know, the political things that he was dealing with at the time. So anyway, I do enjoy Overdrive. I couldn't live without it, and I just appreciate that the libraries offer such a wonderful selection of books for me to listen to. So.
Yeah. Great, Anne. Thank you so much for calling. Now, you have to pardon, I guess I am living in another century, which I guess I am, and it's hard to change. But tell me this process, Kelly. So if you go to, you have to go to the, you don't have to go to the library to get Overdrive. You go, what do you do?
You go to your local library's website.
Okay.
And somewhere on there, depending on the library, you will find the link to Overdrive. If you're a neophyte with technology, you may find yourself having to call the library to help you set it all up, downloading apps and all that sort of thing. La Crosse Public Library Information Services staff do a lot of tech support in that way.
You've had to learn all of this, too. You've had to upgrade all your skills.
Oh, yes, ma'am. You have to have a valid library card, and that is one of the things that is driving, I think, a certain segment of the population now to getting a card and making sure that it's not expired. And then from there, once you've got that, you just pretty much follow the instructions on the Overdrive website. The downside is this, and this is something that we have to make sure we emphasize. If you're looking at a new bestseller, let's say Stephen King puts out a new bestseller, Overdrive does not allow for concurrent users. In other words, the consortium that Paula mentioned, where all the public libraries pay into this, we buy X number of copies, copies, and then you have to be on hold for an electronic copy the same way you would be for the print.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Hoopla product I mentioned, which is heavily music, that does allow for concurrent. So if you want the latest Grammy Award-winning album by whatever artist, we can check out as many of those to as many people at the same time as we can afford.
Wow, this really changes the whole world, doesn't it, all of this?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty serious.
It is serious. Paula, what were you going to say?
What's interesting is I think those two products really are a good example of how the publishing world, the model of selling to public libraries, is still evolving.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah. In Overdrive, each publisher will charge a different price, and they have different rules. And their pricing is different for libraries than it is for an individual. So in the old days when all we did was buy books, I would buy a book at Boswell, for example, and I would pay, you know, let's just say $10. Through the library, we get a little discount. We pay $8. Today, I could buy, as an individual, I could go onto some website and buy an ebook from Amazon for, say, $10. It might cost the library $80.
Oh.
So the publishers just haven't really quite caught up with how to manage their own business model with this new technology. Hoopla is different. However, the costs to the library are a little bit less defined because it is a pay-as-you-go. So if you have a huge success, everybody wants the success, and have a lot of people use this, but the more it's used, the more you pay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still sort of in this learning process, and I think as time goes on, we will find the right model.
Right. Thank you so much, Anne, for your call. Mark in Cameron. Hi, Mark.
Hey, I'm a man of modest means. My wife and I don't make tons of money, but we have three kids. And when I take the kids to the library, they can take as many books as they want of any interest that they want, and it costs them nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It encourages them to read. It encourages them to understand education is awesome. So rah-rah for the public library.
Love it. Rah-rah. I'm with you. That's great, Mark.
Let's put that on a T-shirt.
Yeah, that's good. Rah-rah for the library. And I'm sure we all have memories of this, of going with our parents when we were kids, either dropping us off and we would just go through books. But it was always a highlight. It was a big, fun thing to go to the library.
And it still is. Saturday in Milwaukee, and really in any town, Saturday mornings, going to the library is hugely popular, and for some families, it's on Sunday afternoon. You know, we, for everything that has changed at the library, one of the things I think that is probably the same at least every public library is our emphasis on families and children. And in Milwaukee, what we have is we have something called the literacy pyramid. And if you think of a pyramid and the base of that pyramid, that is our foundational work, which is all about early literacy. So we do a lot of outreach. We work with a lot of child care providers, a lot of parents to make sure that as soon as a child is born, they are being exposed to books and singing and talking and all these sorts of activities that really build literacy skills. And then we build on that, and we are helping children and their literacy needs when they're in grade school, then teenagers, adults, and so forth. So I think libraries have become very strategic in how we use our resources to make sure we're getting the biggest bang for our buck.
Thank you so much, Mark, and have fun reading. Mary in Milwaukee. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
To the lady from the Milwaukee Public Library System, the new library on North Avenue with multi-living housing units above, how is that structured financially? Do we own it? Do we rent it? If you could answer that question, I would be most happy. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks, Mary.
Well, that's a great question. And the East Branch of the Milwaukee Public Library is one of several that we have been building in these mixed-use models. Each project like that is slightly different. So, in particular, this library is a condominium arrangement. We do own the library. That is, the city owns the library, and it's been designated for library use. So the library board of trustees then controls how the library operates in that space. Our partner in the condominium association is the developer, HSI, out of Waukesha. And they actually did the design of the entire development and did the construction. We then hired our own architect who designed and built out the interior of the library. So it is a condominium. We are members of a condominium association.
Oh.
I am the current president of the condominium association.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
and
Paula.
I know. Go figure. So, we're doing all sorts of interesting things that, you know, we never really thought we would do. But as I say, each of these projects is slightly different. At the Villard Square branch, also condominium arrangement, but we don't own the building. There's a separate LLC that owns the building.
Oh.
It depends on the financing.
Mm-hmm.
Financing in East, I'm trying to think, there weren't any tax credits. But we use tax credits at Villard. We have a tax credit model. We did use New Markets tax credits at Villard and also at the New Mitchell Street branch. So the financing is interesting. It's a pretty steep learning curve, but there's a lot of value.
Sounds like it.
So we stretched that $4.5 million budget to well over $5
million. Mm. It's a good model. Let's go next to Anne, who's calling us from Duluth. Hi, Anne.
Hi. When I was a child, I can remember reading a story about two little girls who got locked in a library, and I thought to myself, oh, that would be so wonderful. I'd love to be locked in a library. But my point in calling is to say that I take my granddaughter to Story Hour at our library every week, and I make a point of looking around because libraries are important to me, and for a while I was frightened they'd become obsolete, but they aren't. Every time I go, I see people tutoring. I see older people, younger people, people from all socioeconomic backgrounds, and it's always busy. So our libraries are relevant and current, and I hope they never go away. And I hope I get locked inside one day.
Yeah. Well, maybe
that could be a new fundraising idea.
Absolutely.
You bid for the opportunity to be locked in a library.
Absolutely, like locked in a museum, locked in a library. Mm-hmm. Maybe one of our wonderful guests could make that happen for you in some way, Anne.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. Response, Paula?
Well, I was just reminded last summer, I think it was, we had an event and we had a sleepover at the library. We're certainly not the first to do this. This is very popular. Kelly may have done it in La Crosse. But kids sign up. They come with a parent. And so it is a family event, and we have activities during the evening, and then people brought their sleeping bags, and they had assigned sleeping spots, and they slept on the floor, and we had light breakfast in the morning. So there are all sorts of interesting things happening at libraries, so being locked in at night isn't so far-fetched.
Right. Thanks so much for the call, Anne. Matt sent an email. I loved Doctor Who as a kid. Walking through the Madison Library, I happened to see a DVD of classic Doctor Who, and it dawned on me that I could watch all of these old shows. So over the past few years, I've had the opportunity to share 50 years of Doctor Who with my daughter. It's really been wonderful. From my phone, I can search the catalog reserve media, have it held at my branch, and this is spilled over into classic movies and other library services like CD audiobooks and now Overdrive. Thank you, libraries. Kelly?
Lovely. Except for the Doctor Who part. My husband is a huge Who fan, and I'm not so much.
You're not. I know not that. So you have to watch things at different times, in different places in the house.
I have to respond to the sleepover. My first directorship was in Germantown in 1985, and we did 3 or 4 years in a row of the fourth grade sleepover. The parents were not invited. The parents were delighted to drop their kids off.
I imagine.
And I would pull the all-nighter with staff. The best part was keeping the kids up until about 3:30 in the morning, then letting them sleep until about 6, and then kicking them awake and feeding them, you know, scrambled eggs and bacon, and watching these fourth graders who had been just on fire all night being woken up at 6 in the morning. They were like little zombies, and the parents would show up at 7 to pick them up, and the parents would look at us and go, oh, they're so quiet and calmed down.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that was a tall order to spend the whole night with children at a library. I think that would be... You didn't sleep much either.
It can be done.
It can be, yeah. More phone calls in a moment. We're talking about libraries this hour of our program because there's a major library convention that's going on in Milwaukee as we speak today and tomorrow. And how much longer, Paula? All weekend or just...
Through Friday.
Through Friday. Paula Kiley is director of Milwaukee Public Library. Kelly Krieg-Sigman is director of the La Crosse Public Library. Our phone number, we have tons. You must be heartened because we have tons of calls coming in. And it's nonstop. This is not good.
Kelly and I are not surprised by
that. Yeah, they love you.
People love libraries.
People love libraries. 800-486-8655 is the number. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Many phone calls coming in. Jessica in Eau Claire is next. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, so glad to have this topic on. Libraries are a passion of mine. I grew up in Minneapolis in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, and I lived across the street from a library, and I spent literally every single day of my childhood at the library, and so it's incredibly important to me. It was a haven. It was a sanctuary. I would get my friends who weren't into books to come with me to the library. It was just a wonderful, wonderful place to grow up and a great opportunity. And Eau Claire has such a vital library. We raised our kids here, and it was the same way for us. I would bring them for story time. It was a cool place to go on a hot summer day. It was a quiet place for them to do their homework when they got a little bit older. We have, now they're very, very involved with the Eau Claire Children's Theater, and the library has opportunities for, storybook. The kids who are actors and performers at the Children's Theater go and do story time at the library, so it's just a great way of you know, keeping that legacy going for us as a family and for us as a community. I just can't thank librarians enough.
Very nice call. Kelly?
I think she touched upon one of the ongoing challenges for libraries, and I thought about this earlier when Paula was talking about family support. Our biggest ongoing challenge is to continue to be able to create that habit so that going to the library becomes as regular and as natural as going to church or going to the grocery store or just a regular habit that is looked forward to.
Yes.
Because every time you come in, there's a chance you're going to see something new or something different, or there'll be a new book display or a new passive program of some kind or something that you weren't expecting but is pleasant, but you are pleasantly surprised by. I love hearing people talk about how they started the habit in their youth and they have carried it through now with their own children and hopefully their children when they grow up and have children of their own. That's the key to the ongoing vitality of the service.
It sure is. Thank you, Jessica. Lovely call. Let's give this one to you, Paula. With the new voter ID laws in Wisconsin, a caller wanted to know if libraries in the state have pushed to have library cards serve as a photo ID that could be used in voting.
Well, that's a great question. I haven't really seen, to the direct question, I haven't seen a push for the library card as an ID, but there has certainly been discussion about that. So in Milwaukee, our libraries have always served as registration sites. We've had our staff deputized. I'm a deputy election commissioner, so that we can register people to vote. And many of us that work for the city of Milwaukee, including the public library, work on election day. For the first time this year, one of our branch libraries is also serving as an early voting site.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. So the Forest Home branch of the library, which is on 15th and Mitchell Street, is open on a daily basis, and anyone in the city can stop in there and vote. Do the early voting, and which those ballots will then be processed on November 8th. But we have been in discussions over the last few months with others in the city who are interested in the municipal ID, and we certainly are going to be a supportive partner. But that library card has really not been identified as necessarily the ID, but the ID has been identified as a potential source of library service.
Oh.
So if you have a municipal ID, you can bring it to the library and be issued a library card as a result.
Mm. Kelly, you want to respond to this?
Oh, yes. We have been talking about this for several years at La Crosse Public, and we would love to be a beta site for something like this. Two of the three locations, library locations in La Crosse, are polling places. In fact, we are revving up now for November 8th, and we put out coffee and cookies and everything at our main library when people come in to vote. There has been preliminary discussion about a new fire station in La Crosse with a combined library service kiosk kind of facility where you could get a number of different municipal services. You could register to vote, you could get a pet license, you could get a bicycle license. I would love to see movement in that direction. I think it's the right way to go. I think it's convenient for many people, and it especially for people who have transportation issues and can't necessarily get to the DMV.
Yeah, great. Sarah in Oak Creek, hi.
Hi, I'm an avid library user. I just love the library, and Milwaukee County Interlibrary Loan System is awesome. I just have one question. You have a new county catalog system on the computer to look things up. I find it very difficult to use, and I was wondering if you were going to keep the classic catalog computer system running alongside it so people like me can still use a classic catalog system, because that new system, I don't know, it just,
okay.
I find it a little difficult.
Paula?
Well, I'm not sure what the caller is referring to with the classic system, but we have had a web-based catalog for many years now, and there was an older system that did run side-by-side. I'm frankly not certain if that is still available. But here's my suggestion for anybody who has trouble using either the catalog or any other online resource, is to go and visit your local library, because the librarians and the staff that are there, just like Kelly mentioned earlier, are going to be ready and waiting to help you with that. And oftentimes, I mean, I'm this way, when something new comes along or there's even a slight change, you know, it's hard to adapt.
Sure.
But the more you use it, the easier it will become.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend to the caller that take a trip to the library and ask for some help.
Let's go to Paula in Chilton. Hi, Paula.
Hi.
Hi.
Just wanted to give another shout out to bring traffic into the libraries. I am with UW Extension, and we do a ton of partnering with our public libraries, and we're able to use the books at the library as tools to deliver education, particularly to our elementary and our pre-K kids. We've delivered financial education to kids and helped build those financial socialization skills. We've been able to talk about emotions with kids and help build some of the executive functioning skills. But we've also been able to reach out to child care providers who have contact daily with our youth and showed them how to use books as an educational tool as well. And all of our programs have been free. So it's been a great, they've been a great partner, and people who've not utilized them in that way, I would really encourage you to just check and see what the library has going on that has free programming.
Kelly.
Absolutely. That, as I've said, is going to be a key to our success moving forward. And in the smaller communities and being familiar with Chilton, I'm delighted to hear that, because those small public libraries in those smaller towns are the community nerve center.
Yes.
And any partnering they can do to support other efforts is going to pay a return fourfold. One of the most successful partnerships we've done, and it was such a simple thing, was when the Hunger Task Force approached us. One of the things that a lot of libraries forget that they have is real estate. We have property, and that property can be used for a variety of things. The Hunger Task Force approached us in La Crosse and said, can we park our truck in front of your main library once a week during the growing season and distribute free food?
Oh, and we wonderful. Said,
it took us about a nanosecond to
right.
figure out the answer to that. Simple, no-brainer. All we have to do is promote it consistently and make sure that we put out a couple of parking space cones so that the truck has a way to get up onto the sidewalk. But it has garnered so much recognition and again, awareness of the fact that, hey, there is something here. On the good days, we get couple hundred people lined up, and there's all this energy that gets created on that corner. So there's no question in my mind that the key to our success and continued relevance is looking for partners to work with on any number of projects, and
yeah.
they don't all have to be exotic.
It's a wonderful idea. And we had an email from someone who wanted to remind us of the progressive and grassroots efforts of libraries as well, some of the first to help after Katrina and the first to respond in Ferguson and so on.
Yeah, that's a great message. In fact, I think we were all proud as librarians that the American Library Association was the first group to host a conference in New Orleans after the hurricane. And we give them a lot of credit for doing that. You know, one of the things that Kelly was talking about reminded me. We've also worked with Hunger Task Force over the summer at meal sites, and transportation is really an issue in Milwaukee. Even though we have 12 branches around the city, it can still be hard for some families to get to a library because they don't have personal transportation. And so the outreach program that we are developing and has been in place for a long time is really important. So it's not just about people coming to the library or having access through the internet. It's about us going out into the community and meeting kids and families where they are, whether it's in a school or we're doing an outreach site at a neighborhood site. We also want to be out in the community making ourselves available to people.
Yeah. Let's go to Sarah in Black River Falls. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I just wanted to say that my family and I moved to Black River Falls from Minneapolis about 15 years ago, and we did not know a single solitary soul.
Hmm.
And having the library, which, by the way, is part of the Winding River system, which is wonderful, having a library as a place to go to with my children in particular, taking them to story time, was absolutely an invaluable resource to not only learn things about the community, but to meet their young moms with children and other young families. Many of those children are the tight friends that my children are still having their lives today, and many of those moms have become the closest friends that I have in this community.
Mm-hmm.
So the library offers so much that is intangible. Mm-hmm. And as a place to be able to get together and commune and sometimes commiserate and enjoy literature and everything that the community has to offer is just a huge treat. So thank you to everyone who works hard to make that happen. And the Black River Falls Library is a fabulous place to be.
Thank you so much for your call. And on that note, it's almost time for us to say goodbye. What a great hour. Thank you, Kelly, so much for being with us.
Kathleen, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, our pleasure. And Paula, thank you so much. Have fun at the conference.
Thank you, Kathleen. I hope come to our reception on the 27th, Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Guest.
Thank you, Paula, very much. And I will learn. Now I'm going to learn how to download things. I'm so behind the times. I can't believe it. I'll learn, though. Thank you. I'm just so glad you got this overpouring number of phone calls and really people who appreciate what you do so much. And you need to hear that more often. So thanks. Thank you so much. Paula Kiley, director of the Milwaukee Public Library, and Kelly Krieg Sigmund is director of the La Crosse Public Library. And thanks very much to KP Whaley, who loves libraries as well. And thanks to KP for all the on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. Thanks for listening, everybody, and for all of your calls. News is coming up from National Public Radio. We're with you again tomorrow at 1 o'clock.